Okay, thank you. Okay, the only item on the agenda for tonight is 9 through 17 and 21 North Front Street and 51 Swank Drive and a portion of Fair Street Extension. Site plan special permit to construct a mixed-use building with a 420-car garage, 129 apartments, 32 hotel rooms, and 800 square feet of retail space, and lot line deletion of the lands of Herzog Supply Company and the City of Kingston. SBL 48-80-1-25 and 26 and 24.120. Seeker determination zone C2, mixed-use overlay district, Kingstonian Development LLC, applicant Herzog Supply Company Incorporated, and City of Kingston owner. Sue, you want
to? Okay. So just to make it very clear, this is only a public hearing to have the board listen to public comment on the Kingstonian project being proposed for the Uptown Kingston area. Although there have been numerous statements made with respect to the MUOD zoning and questions of affordable housing, those are not in front of the planning board at this time. They have been transferred to our zoning enforcement officer for an issuance of interpretation. The purpose of the meeting is not to debate, but to only hear comment, so there will not be back and forth. And as we, with respect to the development proposal, all of which will be entered into the record in the board's consideration and deliberation at a future date, which will be determined. All the documents that have been submitted as requested by the board are posted on the city's website. Website address is www.kingston-ny.gov/content-8399-17321-17323-default.aspx. If anyone has an issue finding that information, please contact our office and in the planning department, and we can help you go through it. We request that anyone wishing to speak be sure that you sign in so that we have your name. You'll be called up in the order that you have signed in. We're limiting the speaking time to 3 minutes per speaker, just out of respect for the number of individuals. Written statements will also be expected if you're not able to get through your full time. Please speak clearly, state your name, address, affiliation if you have any, and when you come to the podium. And if you agree with prior speaker comments, the one thing we would ask is that rather than be repetitive for the sake of time, that you simply acknowledge that you agree with the speaker's comments so that we can maintain the continuity. Okay? So we will start with Don Tallerman.
Hi, my name is Don Tallerman. I live at 104 Fair Street in Kingston, and I'm a resident of the city. So I moved here 3 years ago from New York City, from Manhattan, taking a gamble on Kingston. You know, taking a gamble, and I took it based on the promise and the future and the potential of the city. I now own 3 businesses here, and I employ over 25 people. Kingston is an exciting place. It has a history of commerce and trade, bluestone, bricks, manufacturing. The Kingstonian project is in the same line of a city that takes that does big things. And this project is really the kind of so forward thinking that I think the city really badly needs. We talk about how this Kingston has come such a long way. Well, it really has a long way to go. You know, I have family coming that just left me. They were here this weekend. And they had never been to the area. They wanted to see not only Kingston, but the different towns. We took them to Woodstock and Saugerties and Rhinebeck and Hudson. And one of their questions struck me. They said, why is Uptown Kingston so quiet? So little street life next to these other small towns. And the answer is really twofold. We need parking. We all know that. And we need more density. We need more people living here and staying here. We need hotels in Uptown. This project delivers both. It would be an economic engine that I believe Kingston sorely needs. What about affordable housing? Well, boy, do we need it. And I personally have come in New York City, lived for 25 years in affordable housing. And I am the strongest proponent for affordable housing. And I think every project moving forward should have an affordable housing component. And this one, while it would be great, we can't have our cake and eat it too. We are getting a local developer, who is delivering a parking garage and maintaining this parking garage at no cost to the taxpayer. That is a tremendous benefit. And were they to also include affordable housing, it's not worth doing. It's not worth the risk. So with these points in mind, I encourage the committee to move forward with a negative declaration on the seeker in favor of a shortened review process for the Kingstonian project. Thanks.
Thank you. The next speaker is Eugene Berardi, Jr.
My name is Eugene J. Berardi, Jr. I live at 75 Bergerman Street. I was born and raised in Kingston. I'm also the owner and president of Trailways with over 200 employees and well north of 200,000 of taxes that are paid in the greater community between school and the town taxes. I come here to speak in favor of this project. I'm old enough that I remember old man Herzog's, and I can tell you that this family has always meant a tremendous amount to the city. They have all generations been very supportive and had this community in mind, and it's just been very important. And that's the kind of person who's steering and involved with this project. We could have an out-of-towner, and their concerns and their roots are different. And I feel very comfortable telling you all in my trust of what Brad is doing to steer this project. I can tell you firsthand that parking's a tremendous problem uptown. We had to put permits in car windows because a third of our parking lot at the terminal at the base of North Front Street was full of cars from uptown, including the parking over at the stadium. And we all know it's a problem, and we were involved with earlier projects that didn't work with that parking garage location, and we all need the parking that this project is going to bring at their cost. The financial impact to the community, as was mentioned earlier, is significant and important. We bring people to not only Kingston, but New Paltz and Woodstock out of the city and Phoenicia, and we see it all the time. The city has a wonderful opportunity to expand on the tourism and the community that can host these guests and this project, what it'll bring in residents and uptown business stimulation, which we desperately need. I don't think anybody's opposed to affordable housing. But when affordable housing creates a financial situation where a project is not viable, such as this project, you've got to look at the total project and the value to the community in various ways. And this particular project is not going to fly if it's forced to have affordable housing. And I believe you all have to look at the greater good of what's going to happen and not kill this like Amazon left New York City.
30 seconds.
Thank you.
Okay. Sarah Wank.
Okay, can you hear me? I'm jumping right in. The traffic study submitted, as far as I can tell, doesn't address the nearly constant double parking, including by trucks, on North Front and Wall Streets, and the potential for safety issues as cars will be crossing the sidewalk to enter the parking garage. Without the option to turn onto the Fair Street extension, these problems are likely to increase and must be more thoroughly studied. I also haven't seen any discussion of the hideous walkway across Schwenk Drive, which will deposit pedestrians into the middle of one of the least walkable spots in the city. Are the senior residents the applicant wants to attract going to cross a bridge, enter a huge parking lot with no sidewalks or pedestrian paths and little traffic control, walk all the way to Hannaford to shop, then repeat the process loaded down with groceries? It seems an unlikely scenario. Of course, many residents will drive rather than walk, leading to more congestion and less pedestrian safety. And I have to mention the irony of potential Kingstonian residents living on top of a huge parking structure whose windows will face a gigantic and largely empty surface parking lot in the plaza. The word that comes to mind regarding the submitted design renderings is arrogance. The Schwenk side of the project is offensively ugly and wildly inappropriate for a city steeped in history. And the front of the building is no better. There's no context for it on the street. It's too tall. The design does nothing to enhance or blend in with existing buildings. If built as proposed, it will loom over our historic stockade district as a monument to thoughtlessness and greed. As to the uptown resurgence, how real is it? Yes, we have some very expensive restaurants uptown now, but retail spaces are being warehoused at absurdly high rents, $9,000 a month for the Catskill art space, nearly $13,000 a month for the space next to BSP. Who will rent these storefronts? Are they going to provide services for the middle-class renters of the Kingstonian? Is there any evidence of a demand for luxury goods on this scale in the stockade? In a recent YouTube video, the developer said he was open to hearing great ideas about the project. Here's mine. Build something better. A project whose developers demand that a public street be closed, that multiple zoning laws be changed, that tax breaks be provided, that throws design out the window, with no evidence that more uptown hotel space is needed, with no evidence that there is a demand for expensive apartments, with no affordable housing, a project that replaces a street with an ugly pedestrian bridge with questionable utility.
30 seconds.
A project based on increasing parking at a time that our society must move away from reliance on cars. This project demands further scrutiny and review. I hope that this board and all the other involved city agencies will take their responsibilities as seriously as if the future depends on their decisions, because it does. Thank you.
Thank you. Giovanna Regini.
Hi, I'm Giovanna Regini. I live in Ward 5 at 77 Fair Street. Today, the public is being asked to comment on 9 studies commissioned by the developers of the Kingstonian. It is not clear if all the involved and interested agencies have had an opportunity to comment on these studies. If so, this information has not been shared in a timely manner, and it is crucial to an informed public response. In their letter dated February 22, 2019, SHPO outlined several specific preliminary comments and concerns. The Kingston HLPC reiterated and added to these concerns in their own letter dated March 11th. SHPO requested that the developer consider restoration of the original Herzog's building as part of the project. The developer has stated that this would not be possible, but has not publicly shared any study that demonstrates an absolute need for demolition. SHPO mentioned an information request from Philip Perazio for their concerns regarding archaeological resources, which was not shared with the public on the City of Kingston website. Importantly, SHPO noted that if the project involves state funding, which it does, it may require more rigorous review for potential impacts in accordance with Section 1409 of New York State Parks Recreation and Historic Preservation Law. This was also noted by the HLPC. The archaeological study noted that the project is in a location where subsurface testing has never been undertaken and suggests that there may be potential for significant deposits. We need a clear outline of when Phase 1B testing will take place and how the archaeological resources would be protected if found. It is difficult to even begin commenting on the visual impact study without input from SHPO and HLPC. I would expect them to weigh in with skilled, constructive criticism of the current design, especially with regards to treatment of mass and scale. We are given no sense of the visual impact of the new Fair Street Plaza. We have not been given an assessment of specific risks posed by demolition, excavation, or pile driving to the surrounding National Historic District. The architect's green concepts letter is baseline and does not illustrate a serious commitment to climate smart innovations. If this project moves forward, it will profoundly alter the Stockade District. As a community, we need to proceed very thoughtfully and creatively to mitigate any negative impacts to the community character we hold dear.
And if 30 seconds.
And if the planning board truly desires meaningful public comment, as you continue to determine significance and seeker, more time is needed for careful review of numerous issues. Thank you.
Thank you. Marissa Marvelli.
Hi, I'm Marissa Marvelli, 60 Noon Lane. Thank you for this opportunity to comment. As some of you know, I served as the vice chair of the Historic Landmarks Preservation Commission until this past April, as was our responsibility as an involved agency in the project under SEAKER. My fellow HLPC members and I, in the course of deferring lead agency role, relayed to this body our concerns about this project's potential impacts on archaeological and historic resources. Our concerns were based on materials prepared by the developers and a public presentation they made to the HLPC in late 2018. Yet, for reasons that remain unclear, that letter of ours was set aside at your June 4th meeting when the scope of study was being determined. The HLPC is responsible for ensuring that new construction in the city's historic districts is compatible with the size, scale, color, material, and character of the district. Although composed of many resources, a historic district derives its importance from having a coherent identity. Of Kingston's four historic districts, the Stockade is the only one that is also a designated architectural design district under Chapter 264 of the City Administrative Code. Therein, it states that the Stockade area, quote, contains the architecture of the past 300 years, and the new development must not be allowed to erode the best of the architectural spaces and cultural associations of the past, end quote. Significance to the Stockade's physical identity is its topography. It is literally a city built on a hill. While the visual impact of the study prepared by the applicant's architects begins to help us understand the physical changes that this project would impose on the district, it does not allow a meaningful analysis of the relationship between the proposed project and the existing resources. And while the rendering suggests that the new development will not rise to an egregious height, it does propose to irreversibly alter the Stockade's physical setting by closing Fair Street Extension to accommodate an entrance to the new parking garage. On top of that entrance will be a new pedestrian plaza lined on both sides with homogeneous architecture that completely breaks with the historic development pattern of the district. This is why the renderings shown in the visual impact study disturb so many of us. It's so much more than just paint colors and architectural dressing. The project in its current iteration compromises or diminishes the characteristics that make the Stockade significant and special. With further study and consultation with the relevant agencies, especially the HLPC, adverse impacts associated with the project design may be mitigated. It's depressing to consider that at the heart of this project is the requirement that a costly, money-losing parking garage is to be built. The underlying message of this requirement is that parking for cars is more important than affordable housing, the historic integrity of our city, quality construction, or addressing climate change. We can do better than this. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm just going to say before the next speaker, if anyone wants to submit their written statements for us to collect by the end of the meeting,
we'll be happy to accept them. Okay? So, Iona Ross.
Ilona Ross, 48 Third Avenue. On the way in, I asked engineer Dennis Larios what he thought about lacustrine soil. I also asked what he thought about the conclusion of Vernon Hoffman's geotechnical report regarding the lacustrine soil. He was honest enough to admit he had not read the report and that it was the purview of another engineer and architect. Of course, I don't really know very much about Mr. Hoffman's conclusion either because the report was cut off in the city website. I do know what lacustrine soil is because I looked it up. It's the soil that is like toothpaste 40 feet below, as the developers themselves have said. The reason we need to worry about lacustrine soil is because the garage that stood on the land where the developers want to build had to be torn down. What guarantee is there that the Kingstonian won't have to be torn down? You think I'm an alarmist? Then listen to a podcast called The Signal that came out yesterday that describes high-rises in Australia built within the last few years that had to be vacated because of cracks. In one building, the engineer said there was a 60% chance the structure was on the verge of collapse. The reason? Cutting corners with construction. These developers have already proved they gild the lily. From the parking fairy tale to the silly green concepts letter, they have proved they'll spin a story when it suits them, and there's no reason to believe they'll be any more respectful of the truth when it comes to cones and borings. We don't know the future of rising waters, but we do know the Esopus flows nearby, and we know the Esopus floods. With the extra rains due to global warming, what will happen to the water table and to the soil that the developers themselves liken to toothpaste? Mr. Hoffman's report clearly states that the number of borings and cone probes done so far is relatively small for the total area of buildings planned. He recommends 1 or 2 days of additional cone testing and 2 days of additional boring. To grant a negative declaration before this is done would be irresponsible. We know that money is a big deal and that margins are thin because the developers are dead set against an affordable housing set-aside, and they say rent is what will fund the garage. If the numbers are that close, and their own report that is supposed to be the basis of a secret determination says the number of borings was way too small, what's to say they won't cut corners with future cones and borings and with construction? Mr. Hoffman's report is dated December 2017, yet it was just released a few weeks ago, giving the people of Kingston only a short time to digest a complicated engineering matter. Why wasn't this made public earlier in the process? I don't know if you, the planning board, had this report and kept it to yourselves, but if you did, why? Or if the developer is the one who delayed releasing the reports, don't you wonder why? In light of these cutoff reports, in light of the lacustrine soil, in light of heavier rains and possible flooding caused by global warming, in light of the way the Landmarks Commission was muzzled when they raised these same issues, and in light of the fact that you haven't bothered to discuss these concerns publicly, to hand down a neg deck in the secret process either approaches or has crossed into the territory of reckless endangerment. If anything were to happen to these buildings and people were to die as a result, it will redound to you, and you will live with the guilt for the rest of your life. It could be a matter of life and death. The soil is deaf. It's not a straight-ahead matter. You must issue a positive declaration so the people of Kingston can know with whatever certainty is humanly possible whether it is safe to build on this building, on this ground.
Thank you. Tony Marmo.
Good evening. My name is Tony Marmo. I'm the president of Norman Staffing, located at 231 Clinton Avenue, and the owner of property at 214 West Chestnut Street in Kingston as a city taxpayer. So I'm going to say just a few things about this project. There will always be reasons not to approve something. There will always be reasons that a city should not move forward. There will be always reasons not to have progress. There will always be folks that say no. What this city, I think, has been built on and what we continue to need is visionary, progressive people that think in a large context where everyone is benefiting. There'll be jobs created. There'll be a parking fix, which has not happened in my time in the Kingston area since 1980. That downtown area of the uptown area has been a problem, gigantic problem with parking. If I were a business owner up there, I would be seriously concerned, and I'm surprised that has not been addressed since then. The mall in the town of Ulster is essentially dead. There is opportunity for small business growth, and that is in this area. It is, as I said, a progressive plan. The developers are local. They're families that care about this community, the Jordan family, the Benura families. They care about everybody. They are so concerned about everyone's well-being, and we know that there's issues with affordable housing. I don't believe that this project should be influenced by affordable housing at this point in time. There's a lot going on in Kingston, and we have leadership that should address affordable housing. In this particular context, I don't think it's right for this project. So I want you to think about, if it's not approved, if this does not move forward and this is not completed, what happens? What's next? What do developers think about this city and its friendliness towards growth and development? Where do we go from here? I think we're the best river city town up and down the Hudson River. The only way that happens is through leadership, is through being a visionary and making things happen. So I strongly support this project and strongly urge the planning committee to vote in the affirmative when the time comes. Thank you.
Thank you. Darren O'Sullivan.
Hi, Darren O'Sullivan, 7 Liebert Street. Been a resident for Kingston for almost 20 years. I just wanted to focus on one aspect of this, and it's the visual study, the visual impact. Looking at their statement, it says, we've endeavored to incorporate compatibility as the foundation for our design approach to this project. And I can see that very clearly when I look at the photos of the Kingstonian Hotel aspect of this project. For me, that kind of falls apart when you get to the Schwenk Drive, Kingston Plaza view. To me, it doesn't seem compatible from there. I grew up in Poughkeepsie, and I'm down there quite a lot. The Benura Group has a development there called the Water Club. And that view from Schwenk reminds me very much of what I see there. And in Poughkeepsie, that's a standalone project on the waterfront. This is a project in the heart of a historic district with a lot going on. I guess, you know, I'm not a designer. I don't know what I would have to see to make it look more compatible. I guess I wish at this point that there was a possibility of, like, maybe there were a few more design alternatives to consider than just this one. It kind of seems like an all or nothing. It's got to be this way. And it might be helpful if there were some more pictures to look at of how it might be different. Thank you.
Thank you. John Krennick.
Hi there. I'm John Krennick, owner of Exit 19 at 309 Wall Street, Crown at 10 Crown Street, and Spruce Design and Decor at 4 West Union Street down on the roundout. We also own properties at 50 Post Street, 44 Post Street, and 63 Broadway. Yes, we love Kingston and believe in it wholeheartedly. We have invested in it and believe that there is the potential for so much more. Being an owner of 2 businesses in Uptown, I welcome the Kingstonian with open arms. It's projects like the Kingstonian that will only add to the greatness of our town and provide so many needed benefits for everyone. It will finally bring back a parking garage to the stockade so that our customers and guests of the area won't have to figure out where to park. Imagine that. The apartments and hotel in the Kingstonian will provide additional customers to all of the existing businesses in the neighborhood. They'll need to shop in our stores, eat in our restaurants, drink in our lounges, get their hair cut at the local barber or beauty shop, buy flowers for their new apartment at the nearby florist, and in general support all of us in the community. It will also create jobs during the building phase and bring permanent employment to the businesses created by the Kingstonian. I know that since Hotel Kinsley has opened, we have definitely seen an increase in traffic and sales in our 2 uptown businesses. People are flocking to Hotel Kinsley to eat in the restaurant and stay in the hotel. As a benefit, we as neighbors get to reap additional rewards from this amazing project. We find them strolling around the neighborhood and enjoying what we as business owners have passionately created and believe in. I can only imagine what it will be like once the Kingstonian is approved. I always say, build it and they will come. I've seen the pictures of yesteryear when Wall Street was bustling with business. Approve this damn thing already and let's quit stalling the process. We need to look to the future of Kingston, and this project will definitely help take us there. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Lowell Feng. Lowell.
My name is Lowell Thing, and I live at 188 Ledge Road in the town of Ulster. Until recently, I lived in the city of Kingston for over 40 years, and I once had the privilege of serving on the Landmark Commission. Like most of us, I'm in love with the city's history and historic architecture. We've looked at that empty space on North Front Street for a long time. Finally, something has happened. The challenge for a developer at that very important location, at the very center of Kingston's history and its uptown National Historic District, is great. And I know that the developers are appreciative of the importance of the location, and we should thank them for taking on the challenge of a project that was bound to raise some very high expectations. And I don't think it should be surprising that their design is not quite there yet. I believe there could easily be some question about whether the size of the proposed buildings is too large, whether or not some apartments should be set aside as affordable, but I would like to withhold comment on those aspects so that I can focus on the main thing I want to say. To my mind, the visual impact report reveals an exterior or facade design that does not come anywhere close to relating to the significance of its site in the Stockade District. These buildings could be anywhere. I don't see any character. I could almost say I don't see any architecture. I'm pretty sure the designers have checked off the various points on almost any design guideline for new buildings in historic districts. While that may be necessary, it is not sufficient. As I recall, the developers have in fact asked for community input on the design. The problem is that when you present a design that you ask people to modify, there is already a design underway. The responsibility has to be the developers, and I realize that for this site is a great challenge. I don't know what the right design for the exterior of the buildings would be. I would have to see it, but I will reluctantly offer a few thoughts, and I'm sure there are many other thoughts that many other people could have.
30 seconds.
Ultimately, it is the designer's responsibility, the developer's responsibility to come up for a design that meets the requirements. The two or three materials most associated with this site are limestone, bluestone, and bricks. It is possible to apply decoration or variation to these materials. Think of different shades of brick and stone, bas relief, brick patterns.
Time.
The use of metal on some of the bays shown in the present design seems artificial to me. The hotel-like building seems to be an example of fake vintage. The masses that are most visible from the rear seem motel-like. Yeah, there's really no way not to see separate them visually, this part of the project from the historic frontage.
Lowell, time.
I believe that the developers need the opportunity to rework the
design. If you
want to
give us a copy of your statement.
Be afforded by an extended environmental review, and I urge the planning board to declare such a review. Thank you.
Thank you. Robin Romeo.
Hi, Hi, my name is Robin Romeo. This is Tom Romeo. We live at 75 Fair. We live at 75 Fair Street, and we are retired. We've only been here for 5 years, but I would really resent the idea that we don't care as much about Kingston as people who have been here for 20 or 40 years. We chose this place, and we love the character that it has. I am visually offended by the design. Its lack of symmetry, its 12 different colors, all of which are non-colors, its lack of cohesiveness with the rest of the community, and the fact that it looks like a motel and it's only missing the laundry hanging from the back. I would like to say that as a, I don't think that I'm in the historic district, but we're close, and I know that people who are in the historic district cannot make changes to their houses. They can't decorate, they can't extend, they can't do anything without approval to say that it looks like historically accurate or appropriate. This design would not have met those standards, and there's no reason for it to go forward like that. So essentially what Lloyd said, and what else? That it? That's it. Bye.
Thank you.
People are coming to Kingston for art and for history, and this is neither artful or historic.
Yeah. Gerald Burke.
Hi, my name is Gerald Burke. I live at 26 Maiden Lane in Kingston, just across from the Academy Green.
Mr. Burke, if you would address the board, please.
Do I have to look at you? Can I stand sideways? I'm here to really listen and hear speak to the people. You can hear me.
I can, but I think...
I just always thought I'm here to hear what the people have to say, and I'm here to address the people and thank them for coming. I'd like to thank you for the opportunity. I'd also particularly like to thank a totally unique organization called Kingston Citizens, which has asked for more time for us to do this. In particular, I would ask that everybody who spoke, please provide your information in writing. I think they need more than just by the end of today, and I think those writings should be very simply available. I've heard some wonderful things spoken on both sides and in the middle and no sides at all. Anyway, I'd like to thank you and Kingston Citizens and the people who've come and spoken, and I would like to see that information. For myself, I represent the KingstonCorridor.org, an outgrowth of a two-year Main Street Manager program, and it addressed the flow and the connection and the cohesiveness of Midtown, Uptown, and Rondout, that was sanctified, whatever, by the comprehensive plan, Kingston 2025, which I don't see a lot of reference here in the that, and that is homage has been paid to that. In fact, what I would say is that the Kingston 2025 comprehensive plan benefited most greatly by this type of participation at the end when the public got a chance to speak. So I would like to ask that what we say get into written record and be available for study. The words came by pretty fast. So thank you very much. Appreciate your time. Oh, and as it sits, without more information, I am strongly opposed to the Kingstonian as it sits. We just don't know enough. There is no hurry. And it's not obfuscation. It's called procedure. When you involve the public, the public has a chance to read and to think. And that's it. Thank you very much. Appreciate your attendance.
Ed Hill.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak tonight. I am strongly in favor of the project. I'd like to reiterate the comments made by Mr. Berardi, as well as those made by Mr. Marmo. And I'd like to also specifically say, in reference to affordable housing, RUBCO is currently doing hundreds of units and doing a great job of it. And we have an affordable housing problem in this community, obviously. What we need to do is increase supply. Supply of all types, not just affordable housing. And to put the onus of affordable housing on top of this project, quite frankly, would make it simply not viable. This is solving a major problem we have. I know one of the people here opposing it was saying about double parking uptown. Well, obviously, several hundred units available for public use in a parking garage would solve the problem of double parking, or at least help it, obviously. So I also think that, quite frankly, what you have here is a dream team of developers, all of whom have local roots, they have plenty of financial backing, and they have experience. And if you do anything other than roll out the red carpet for these people, you're absolutely completely crazy. You will not have anyone else come to this area with better funding, better experience, and better involvement. The Herzog-Jordan family, quite frankly, every single charitable event in this area, they support. I don't know how, but look at the t-shirts. Every single one, Herzogs, Herzogs, Herzogs. Quite frankly, they let the city use their parking lot for all sorts of public events. You can't do anything other than completely support this project. Thank you.
Jeffrey Renz.
My name's Jeffrey Ring, and for full disclosure, I'm the chairman of the Zoning Board of the Town of Ulster, and the comments I make tonight are my own personal comments, don't reflect the board. I live at 124 Forest Hill Drive. I've been in this town over 30 years. I'd like to express my support for this project. As others have said, I don't think you could get a better set of developers for this town given the local support. This is a very low-risk project, knowing the history of these folks. This is a great example of a public-private partnership where the developer is providing the town a solution to a desperately needed issue, which is public parking, and it's unreasonable to ask a project to solve all of the issues of the town. And, you know, there's been a lot of negative comments. I would ask, where's the other proposal for development of this property? This is a $50 million plus project, and I think the last time we had something like that was the jail, and before that it was the mall in the town of Ulster. We desperately need development to move this this town forward, and I'm full of support. So I would encourage you to, when the time comes, vote for this this project. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Lee Kalish.
Hi, good evening. My name is Lee Kalish. I live at 168 Wrentham Street on the Town of Ulster side, to be clear. Thank you to the committee and for all your efforts and your incredible time commitment. I know this is not an easy job, and I'm grateful for your public service. I'm generally in favor of this project, but not without significant public input. I don't know if there's a middle ground on the seeker yes or no determination, but I believe it's worth contemplating. Community input seems to me to be the biggest stumbling block for many of us. The debate, as I see it, is not as simple as affordable housing or gentrification. I actually think middle-income housing is a true need that gets overlooked in that debate. But the simple fact is this is the most significant change to Uptown Kingston since before I was born, and I was born in 59. I wonder if there's a way for this committee or Common Council to hold some public working sessions where we could somehow collate our collective thoughts and for you to facilitate a conversation whereby we, the public, feel like we truly have the ability to participate in this project, in the design of it, in how it affects uptown, how it affects pedestrian, how it affects driving, how it affects parking, how it affects schools, how it affects, this is, you know, when you look at environmental in a seeker, all of these things need to be considered. I hope we don't have to put these guys through a really arduous seeker process, but at the same time, I'm not willing to say that we don't have a say in this project. It seems obvious to me public money requires public guidance, and I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you. Steve Clorfine.
I'm Steve Clorfine. I live on Washington Avenue, and I own a property on Green Street in Pearl. I'd like to read a letter from my wife who's not able to read it and make some comments of my own. This is my wife's letter. Having attended two public hearings about the above project, I find myself with some questions and concerns about the process and the proceedings. There are complex and obscure legal issues regarding zoning and planning and approvals in regard to the Kingstonian. It also appears to be polarizing our community. My concern is that our elected officials act with integrity, transparency, and genuine interest in what their constituents think, feel, and say. Any apparent attempts to circumvent laws, to sidestep delicate issues, and to proceed with a proposed development that has not been given the lawful consideration and deliberation will incur the upset of many people and cause anguish and sadness that our city is not willing to act honorably and in such a way that in 50 years' time we could look back and be proud to have ushered in a forward-looking, appropriate, and respectful development on this site. I'd like to emphasize what my wife says about polarizing the community. It feels very difficult to me to hear the polarization in this room tonight. There's enough of it in the country. It's killing our country in some ways, and I think that Kingston as a model city could do a lot better than enter into that kind of a fray. I have a few comments of my own. I'll be very brief about them because some have been mentioned. I, of course, do not feel like a trade-off between affordable housing and parking is reasonable or conscientious. $6 million in New York State public funding is going into this, and what's being ignored is the City of Kingston's Stockade District mandate for 20% affordable housing. Another hotel, I don't believe it. The Kinsley is there. They're already building an annex a few blocks away. This would provide a third boutique hotel 3 minutes from where I live. I'm not interested. The points on the features of the project from the architect's report are all filled with consideration. They will consider this and they will consider that. There are things mentioned in the considerations that have very little reality, like bicycles and electric bicycles, like the lighting that's going to go on with this number of apartments in the Stockade District, like local public transportation, which is already a difficult issue in Kingston, and they're expecting that this is going to be a solution for people living there. It just doesn't make any sense. I'm not opposed to a project. I'm opposed to the way the process of this project has gone forward, and particularly to the way it's polarizing the community and setting one thing against another. Thank you.
Mr. Clorfine, is your wife Jenny Bates? Okay, so she's not here to speak. Okay. Vince Rua?
Good evening. My name is Vince Rua. I live on West Chestnut Street in Ward 9. I was born in Kingston, graduated from Kingston High School in 1971, at a time when Kingston had about 30,000 people. So I know as well as anybody in this room what Kingston was like at its peak population. I know what it was like when it was flourishing. Just like many voters in Kingston, I have an opinion on this project. From the outset, I've questioned a few aspects My questions, however, have been answered for the most part. I've expressed concerns about whether we need more restaurants and retail space in the small carve-out of the project dedicated to these ideas. But at the end of the day, I believe this project is indeed a huge plus for Uptown Kingston. So I'm going to share with you a little story about my wife and I, an experience we had a couple weeks ago. We had dinner on a Saturday night at Palazzadas around 8:15. We sat in a window seat with great views of Wall Street. There were, however, no people on Wall Street to speak of. When we left after a great meal around 9:30 and walked around, Duo, Chops, and Echeterra were closed, and Wildebeest had two tables occupied. Clearly, we need more people living in and around Uptown for it to thrive. There remain a number of concerns that need to be addressed in fairness to all. The developers, to their credit, are having or have had extra studies done to address some of these stakeholder concerns. At the end of the day, however, I believe the divisiveness that we hear tonight reflects our mayor's failure to build consensus, truly a lack of leadership on his part, and in no way should reflect negatively on the developers nor on those opposed. I believe a mayor should be committed to building consensus for economic development initiatives like the Kingstonian that will benefit the entire community. In closing, I only hope our mayor rises to this occasion, brings all stakeholders together, hammers out acceptable compromise, and moves this project forward, addressing all legitimate concerns. The Kingstonian is a project which Kingston needs.
Thank you. Jeff Collins. Jeff Collins. Okay. Betsy Scheffel.
Hi, I'm Betsy Scheffel. I live at 85 Westchester Street. I have a sort of different kind of comment. I was really lucky enough to visit Italy this summer, and when we went to Venice, we found a city that was dying. About 10 years ago, they had 100,000 people that lived there. Now they have about 50,000 people that live there, and it was they really do get about 38 million visitors a year. Kingston has been getting a lot of visitors, which is really fantastic. The issue is short-term rentals like Airbnb and VRBO. And I've listened to a few people here say tonight that this is great, affordable, even middle-class housing. But my question is, and it's just sort of a concern, how do you know it's really going to be middle-class housing? Because what's happening in Kingston is people are buying things up to do Airbnb. Tonight, just before I came here, I decided to look to see how many Airbnb, just Airbnb, not VRBOs, there were in Kingston. Do you guys have any idea how many we have at any given time? About 300 right in Kingston. So these are people that are actually buying up property to short-term rent it out. So the question is, even with the hotel, with 32 units going into the hotel, how do you know that the 129 units aren't just going to be sort of this short-term rental? Because the long-term consequences, cities are just really beginning to feel, and this is obviously like sort of a larger question for Kingston, but the long-term consequences, if only 60 of those units are being really bought by people that are going to live there, right? Live there, send their children to school, actually eat at the restaurants uptown, actually, you know, go and purchase things from exit 19. You know, if they're just sort of renting them out and then they're sitting there vacant half the time, is that really sort of beneficial? So it's just some sort of something else that I think that we as a city really need to start to consider. And the last thing, there are certainly people that have spoken about this much more eloquently than I have or can tonight, but I'm not really sure why it looks like it belongs in, like, the New Jersey shoreline rather than in Kingston. Some of these beautiful towns near us have done really nice developments, places like Rhinebeck and, you know, Saugerties, even New Paltz. But
30
really
seconds.
Kept in keeping with the look of the city. And just using something like Bluestone or really being, you know, diligent about keeping in the context, as Lowell said, would be wonderful. I'm for the project. I just think we need to really think about it and think about the design and the look. Thank you.
There's a Donald signed up, but it says no to speak. I don't know if he's here. Okay. Amy Gardner.
Hi, and thanks for the opportunity to provide some comment and questions. My name is Amy Gardner. I'm a resident of Kingston. I'm the director of O Positive Operations, the festival. I also happen to be on the DRI local planning committee, where we learned about the project, especially the walkway and its relevance to the city. When I joined the DRI committee, it seemed like that project had already been chosen, though many of us had questions about exactly how and why, and we didn't have a lot of light shed on what that process was. We did have a lot of questions about it. I'm not sure our questions were fully absorbed, however, and I'm hearing through others' comments that similar questions are arising, so I wanted to agree with many of them and point some out. One thing that was disappointing about being on the DRI was this process and the fact that we felt like our voices really weren't heard and our questions weren't taken seriously. And here I am today echoing that. I just felt like having a few days to absorb the content of all those reports was really not enough, and I just really appreciate more time for the community at large to read that and to ask meaningful questions. Besides the visual impact, which a lot of people have already spoken about, and the lack of SHPO input and stuff like that, I wanted to talk about how I thought the project could be interesting for density of Kingston. But I'm wondering, is this really the right idea? And what's really innovative about a mixed-use retail space with more sort of boutique hotel in Kingston? What really interested some of us on the DRI was the affordable housing aspect of this. And I'm not sure if I have the right numbers here, but it seemed to be suggested that $1,300 or $1,400 for a one-bedroom is market rate and affordable. And I'm here to tell you all that it's not. What kind of stores are going to be put in a retail space? Are they going to be large block stores that can afford rents like that? Do those jobs pay people enough to live in this building with supposedly affordable housing? So I'm not really just thinking about the exterior, which is important too, but about the content of this project. What is innovative about this idea? I could get behind it if I heard something that was truly innovative and took the input of the community and really optimized that, but I'm not hearing that right now. So I would just like more time and more information, and I'd like for us to be taken seriously and not have this process just march forward without, you know, constructive feedback from the community. It just feels like it's not very democratic, and it would be a real shame to have more of the same in Kingston. Kingston's a very special place. Thank you.
Barbara Scott.
Hi. Barbara Scott. I'm 66 Spruce Street in the Rondout. And thank you very much for all your time and consideration on this. I know it's a very complicated project. I did want to say that the uses and designs of the Kingstonian project need to be thoroughly reviewed and considered. There needs to be a categorical review of seeker and the historical requirements. This is an opportunity to establish a clear, transparent process that includes establishing sound criteria. Kingston is already attracting new visitors and residents. The reasons people are coming is for the beauty, walkability, and the fantastic community here. To reiterate, Kingston is already a big draw, and it is now in a position to require that projects meet historical and design standards. We can ask for projects that complement the history and needs and aesthetics of Kingston. Thank you.
Thank you. Beetle Belly.
Hi, I'm Beetle Bailey, 20 Henry Street, Kingston. So, the last time any group of outsiders seemed so bound and determined to destroy Kingston, they were wearing red coats and flying a Union Jack. I mean, I'm not going to harp any further, at least today, on how badly this will affect housing and affordability in Kingston, since most of the responses to that seem to equal things like, are there not workhouses? Let them eat cake, that sort of response. The fact is, no luxury eyesore will benefit this town to the tune of the dollar sign so many seem to hear coming from the as-yet-built Kingstonian. They'll wait for their wallets to fill, and others will wait to lose their homes and places they can afford to live and work and buy things. And I fear that only one of those outcomes will actually come true. Before this town finally sinks under the weight of forgotten, and they will be forgotten, the Kingstonian and others like it, before it sinks under the weight of forgotten luxury eyesores and Edsels, this sharp divide in the community over luxuries that few here who already live here can actually afford is going to just make the rancor deeper and more bitter. So, before America was even fully an idea, let alone a more perfect union, a bunch of greedy, red-coated bastards tried to destroy this place. They tried to burn it to the ground and trod the ashes into the mud and make sure nothing else ever grew here and lived here and thrived here. And Kingston fought back, and that's what it should do now. We don't know all that this will do to the community, but I guarantee you most of it will not be good for the people that already live here. So, sorry, I'm a little... But, like I said, the last time it was the British. And from the look of things, they should have just dropped the Union Jacks and the Redcoats and picked up degrees in land development and real estate, because that would have gotten the job done in a way that sticks. This is already dividing the community, and that won't change once the Kingstonian is built, especially if there isn't more research, more time, more talking and listening, and more dedication from every side of this argument.
30 seconds.
To the heart, the soul, the body, and the face of this community. And as it stands, the face of the community just looks like everywhere else. Kingston's soul is being turned into everywhere else, and it's not. It's already a place of diversity, and it needs to stay that way. And it won't if all that lives here is New York City's money until it gets bored and moves on. So please take the time that you have to deliberate and look as deep as possible
time.
Before you decide. Thank you.
Gloria Washlin.
Hi, I'm Gloria Waslin. I have been going to Uptown Kingston Business Association meetings for about 7 years. From the previous mayor to this mayor, we've been talking about parking and the need for parking uptown, and I'm sure throughout Kingston. I also hear that businesses are looking for more business, and Uptown used to be extraordinarily vibrant, and it's lost a lot of the vibrancy. And as a member of CUBA, as somebody associated with my friend Carrie Henderson, who owns a building at 288 Fair Street, we're all looking forward to the Kingstonian. I'm sure that there are lots of issues that have been wisely brought up for consideration, but the concept of bringing a beautiful place that people could live in, and I, I'm
I was invited to a fabulous quiche, I've got to say, at Amy and Lou Kirshner's. They're in Florida, and they were urging me to get more walkable places for people who are over 65, who are looking to sell their five-bedroom homes because their kids and grandkids have moved out, and they are absolutely looking to forward to moving into the Kingstonian. And they had a wonderful point of view, which was they want to sell their house to people who come up to stay in the hotel and fall in love with Kingston, and then they can sell their house to, like, the next generation. So I think there are virtues of the Kingstonian that we may not be able to see from this vantage point. So the fact that people would be interested to move to Uptown Kingston, not to have to move away from Kingston where they've lived all their lives, to have a better situation for their elder years, is very appealing for a lot of people, and I think that that's worth considering too. So I'm sure everything will get worked out, because this is a beautiful city that every point of view is considered, and I have faith in this entire group to work things through. And thank you.
Thank you. That was the last of the speakers who have signed up to make any statements. If there's anyone else wishing to speak,
so I'm keeping it. The Kingstonian is being presented as a panacea. Panacea for parking, a panacea for...
Tanya, we know you, but can you just introduce yourself?
Thank you. Tanya Garment, 102 Wirt Street. We have a parking problem. The answer is not more parking, and everyone doesn't think that. The answer is parking management. The mayor spoke about parking management shortly before we applied for the DRI. Unfortunately, we never really got any real parking management. We just started charging for parking lots. That's not parking management. The Kingstonian developers, there are so many people, developers who want to develop uptown. We actually had two applicants for the request for RFQ, Charles Blakeman and Andrew Wright. Both of those people could have developed this site. The mayor decided not to go with the RFQ and give it to the Boneras and Herzogs because they were doing the project next door. Huge projects come with some problems. It gets so big, and there's going to be some problem with that. That what we're seeing with this is that they're requesting to close a city street so that they can fit their garage ramps on the street. The parking is not public. It's not public parking. It's proposed to be parking available to the public, and they're going to be asking for many variances for parking. Maybe you believe that we've got too high standards for the requirements for on-site parking, but I would agree. But this is not going to add parking. This is going to be a development that will ask for a lot of parking waivers, and more parking is not the answer. We need parking management. More housing is not the answer. If it's going to raise the prices. If you have a luxury building, then the prices go up all over. It doesn't work the way that people are talking about it. You don't just provide some luxury housing and then that alleviates the middle-income housing. It doesn't work that way. We have a lot to do with planning in the city that we're about to start accomplishing with hiring a consultant to fix our zoning. Hopefully,
30 seconds.
Kingston Plaza will be allowed to have some housing in it. The malls are dead. Why are we not building apartments in Kingston Plaza? Best practice says you don't close a city street. You don't close a city street to traffic. 2 hours of watching the traffic does not make a traffic study that you should be paying much attention to. And a traffic study is diverting the attention away from the fact that we're doing something that is bad practice, closing a street to traffic. Thank you very much.
Anybody else?
Evening. My name is Robert Hansenstern. I own 334 Wall Street, which is right across from the project. It doesn't sound like the group here is too far apart that you can't find some kind of compromise in the middle. You have a historian who knows the correct way to do buildings. You have others who are concerned about traffic and so forth. I mean, I've been in that spot for years, so I know the traffic going down the hill. I go there every day. It's really not that bad. It's not a super traffic thing. In fact, for ages, you couldn't even turn down that road. There was a sign there and so forth. So it's just a matter of realizing that you have to get the architects to make a building that will eventually, if they leave, they go bankrupt for any reason, you can sell because it'll be part of the city. And, they could not pay their taxes, so those buildings would be your buildings and so forth. So you have to make something that's visually really nice. As a photographer, I've seen, Uptown go through its different stages and so forth. You also have to have somebody watching over the project. I mean, we've all seen how the Canopy project went. Sounded good. You had the drawings and everything. But in the final doing of the project, again, we're stuck with, something that we're, what are we going to do with? Build it new, do something new, and so forth. So there has to be somebody totally in control of that. And actually in control of the money. If they're getting $6 million, I'm not sure exactly how that scenario is. They should be getting that at the back end of the project. Not at the beginning, using that money to start and do, and then all of a sudden, the end of the project, they don't have enough money left, and you're stuck with a halfway finished building. And concerning the affordable housing, I don't understand. I guess you can't take part of that money, take $1 million and fix up a bad building or something. But there should be, we must be saving some money with that money coming into the city, that some money could be set aside from the city.
30 seconds.
Fix a building, and then you've got the housing. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Dominic Vanacore. I own the building on 34 North Front Street, 335 Wall, corner of Wall North Front, right across from the project. I've owned that building for 23 years. I live in the building, so I do business there. I live there. Take care of that corner, pretty much. All I can say is I've heard a lot of different arguments about diversity, and it's going to, push people out of the city. But I do know from being in that neighborhood for 25 years, 35 years working in Kingston, that every capital project that's been built in the city or focused on has been directed at affordable housing. And I'm definitely not opposed to it, and I love that they're building more, and they have two projects going on right now. I do strongly believe, though, that there should be a project that's directed for people that do not qualify for affordable housing. I know my mother, per se, if she wanted to move to Kingston, there should be a place, like, if you really thought about it right now, if you wanted to sell your house and move to Kingston, once you sell your house, you're not eligible to live in the Stuyvesant, the Governor Clinton, Yasmin Towers, any of those facilities, the Lace Factory, the two new places that are being built. They're all
in the town so that people can walk around and be part of the community. I do believe that there should be a project for people to be able to move to in Kingston that they can, you know, that's part of diversity, is having people that have different socioeconomic levels. You know, having a business on that corner, I have a hair salon, I have a cafe, I have an Airbnb. We attract all different kinds of people, and we need more different kinds of people. I know the Kingsley has definitely brought another level of people to Kingston that probably would never would see in Uptown Kingston because of the level of the hotel. I don't think that we should have stuff that push people out, but I definitely do know that from being in the plaza for 12 years, when my salon was in the plaza, it was very difficult for me to be uptown. There's no the connection is not there. I do believe that this, the design that's going on now, is going to actually make a connection, so people that live in Dutch Village, the plaza, can walk uptown easily, and people that are uptown can get to the plaza easily. I do think that's an important factor of this project. I do understand the reservations about the designs, and I think that they'll work on that. I mean, our city represents every era of American architecture from, you know, back in the 16th century all the way up to the 1940s, the Woolworth Building in the 50s. Why can't we have something that represents this time period, you know, the glass menageries in the 60s? So I'm full support of the project. Just because I know from being in trying to do business here, we need to have people on the street. We need to have people come to buy things.
30 seconds.
And I might want to live there as well. So there you go. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else?
Ruth Mandelbaum. I live in 269 Richmond Parkway, Town of Ulster. I'm sorry, can't hear?
Pull it down.
Sorry. Ruth Mandelbaum, Richmond Parkway, Town of Ulster, though part of my backyard's in the city of Kingston. Thank you to the gentleman who just spoke. When I first heard about this project, which I think was over a year ago, I quickly Googled to find out where I could leave myself on the waiting list. I was so excited because I was starting to feel like a prisoner in my home. And I think I am part of the demographic that was just described. And I think there are a lot of us right here in the city of Kingston. I wouldn't be surprised if your apartments were filled up with people who were not from out of town, but just people like me who are ready to sell our houses to other young family and be able to spend the next 20 years here living and spending our money in the city of Kingston instead of having to go to Arizona or Florida or California, you know, just to be able to stay here. I never thought that it was going to be anything controversial about this project, so I've just been, you know, I went to the initial Chamber of Commerce meeting to hear things, and I did watch the YouTube video of the last public meeting, so I am more aware of many of the issues that are coming up. There must be something wrong with my aesthetics because I looked at all the digital views and I didn't think it was so terrible, but you know, you can't even see it from most of the views that I can see. But that's another thing. And what the gentleman just brought up, I'm very happy to hear, is I don't ask anyone to feel sorry for me. I am so blessed to be able to be in this position, but there are not a lot of housing options other than being in a private home for people who are lucky enough to be, you know, baby boomers who are retiring and do have some means. There's not a lot of things for us in the city of Kingston, and to have something where potentially you can have walkability. Right now, I'm creating a much larger carbon footprint than I should have to. And we might be able to give up a vehicle. Who knows? I don't know what will ultimately happen with this project, but I know whatever was going on in Bel Air took, what, like 18 years? So if this does drag on and on, then, you know, this can't be one of my options. I'm hoping it will be an option for the retiring baby boomers. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Okay.
Thank you, Sue. Okay, board members. We're looking at a special meeting of the planning board for 9/11. Okay? Public comment, written only, on the project will stay open until 4 p.m. the Friday preceding the 9/11 meeting, which will be 9/6.
Correct.
Okay. Do you have anything further? No. Okay, I make a motion to adjourn. Do I have a second? Second, Robert J. All in favor? Opposed? Carried. Okay. Thank you, everyone.